guess we can just make a start now. So we'll just commit this time to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, Lord, and we pray you grant us, Lord Father, hearts that are still and minds that are clear. We pray for a settledness in your spirit, Lord. And we pray that you can open up, Father, your words to us, and shed light, Father, on us. Reveal to us, Lord Father, what the lessons that you are wanting us to learn, whether individually or collectively, Lord. We just pray for grace to the other groups today as well, the Cantonese and the Mandarin Bible study groups, Lord, that you may also bring your light to them. And Father, we just commit this time, and we thank you for your provision to us in so many ways, in Jesus' name. So today we're just going to start on, continue on with where we were on chapter 6 in 2 Timothy. I think last week we spoke at length regarding godliness, the verse 6, the godliness as a means of a great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. And this sort of follows on with certain maybe very physical things that we might see, or you know, certain verses that are quite familiar to us already. And I think you know, things like if we are, you know, we came into nothing into the world, so we can't take anything out of it. And having, you know, our basic needs met, such as like food and covering, whether it be clothing or shelter. Or it does sort of bring up certain warnings as well, though, when it talks about the temptation to fall into the snare of trying to a life of just trying to seek after riches in the physical sense of physical riches. It leads us to many sort of self-harming situations, and ultimately brings the spiritual death in us. And we know that contentment, it's not just being content with certain environments that we're in or certain things that we have. It's contentment with the Lord, or finding ourselves that, you know, finding ourselves or learning to say that, you know, God is enough for us in our life. And so I think that was just a few things that we mentioned. I wasn't too sure whether we, I can't remember if we went on to, I think we touched upon like verse 11, where Paul is sort of reminding, not just Timothy, but he reminds us that we are to flee from such sort of earthly, desires, such as that, you know, what he mentioned previously in verse 10 about the love of money, you know, you know, our pursuit is the Lord himself, you know, basically in verse 11. Are we seeking him? These qualities that's mentioned in verse 11, pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness, all these characteristics are listed, are of God. So, ultimately, you know, are we seeking the Lord and all the things that belong to him in a, not just out of a head knowledge, but is out of a living experience and relationship with the Lord, and as we sort of commit our time with him, and our ways to him. What is interesting is in verse 12, when it mentions fight the good fight of faith, you know, I don't, know about yourselves, but like, in life, there's like, you know, it's best not to be in any sort of situation where you need to fight. But in verse 12, you know, Paul highlights that there is one spiritual fight that we should be in. That is the fight for faith, and that is like the spiritual warfare that we've quite brought up many times previously. So And it's crucial because it's we're dependent on the Lord, and so our fight for Him, our fight with Him, against maybe those who are not mentioned in verse three, when Paul mentioned that if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of those of the Lord Jesus and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and stands nothing. He is morbid, interesting, controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. So we know that there is a important fight that we have to be in. Now it's not necessarily a the victory the Lord has already got, but we are to continue in supporting and upholding Him in our lives. So I think a part of it is the next part of the verse where Paul states that take hold the eternal life which you were called. And he made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's something that we are to maintain in our lives and not to let go at any point. So that's, something that I sort of see from it. And we also see how the Lord in verse 13, it mentions how the Lord testified about himself before Pontius Pilate. And it's a sort of crucial point, I guess, for us, because it sort of sets the examples in which we are to follow in the Lord's footsteps. Just wanted to ask maybe just one question as well alongside these points is verse 14, where it says that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how does that look for us? What is that for this commandment that Paul mentions? So I'll just leave this where it is for the time being and open up to the table.
I think this particular chapter, in fact, perhaps the latter half of 1 Timothy, there's a lot of comparisons between the things of the world and the things of God, not just in like the verses or the sections which Pastor just mentioned, but even like towards the at the end of this chapter, verse 17 onwards. And I think as Pastor has mentioned already, particularly where you compare verse 10 with verse 11, you can see there's things which are of the world in verse 10, and then what Timothy is being encouraged to pursue after instead. So instead of money, which appears quite a few times in these last two chapters of 1 Timothy, to pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And the reason why he's encouraging him to do all of these things is not for personal gain or anything like that, because, well, I guess that's why you seek after money, isn't it? Because it makes your life more physically comfortable, but actually these things which he's being encouraged to pursue after, and which actually we as Christians are also encouraged to pursue after. Arguably, you could say that there's virtually no benefit for us in this life, but actually, again, if you're comparing things of the world versus things of God, it has a huge benefit from an eternal life point of view in verse 12, but also it's a really important testimony to those around us. And a testimony to, actually, as I said in chapter 5, the presence of God, Christ Jesus, of his chosen angels, that's verse 21 in chapter 5. And so I think all the way through here, for me, there's a comparison between the things of the world and the things of God. And the reminder here is that we, in verse 13 and 14, that we should live our lives similar to the way in which the Lord Jesus did, and right to the end of his life, he continued to give that good testimony, and main, where it talks about that good confession before Pontius Pilate, that was the last, I'll use the word like judgment, isn't it, if you think about like what he was going through at the end, and before he was sent to the cross. And so, all the way through the Lord's life, he continues to be faithful towards the things which he needed to pursue after, so similar to kind of verse 11, so that he was there without stain or reproach. And the reminder is that it should be the same for us, and where it talks about until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's an encouragement for brothers and sisters at the time in Timothy to for the Lord's coming again, but in reality, that's what it's going to be until the end of our life, I think. So it's a continual reminder for us how we should live our lives, how that can be, and how it can be very different to things of the world, and how, versus things of God.
Thank you. We have a clear picture of, you know, what Paul has been saying to Timothy, you know, in regards, you know, piety with contentment. You know, this does not come easy to anyone. But the first thing to realize when we, you know, begin to see, you know, what Paul is saying is that he says, you know, flee these things. But it's not about just fleeing these things. The thing is that it is pursuing. What is it that you're pursuing? But for us to pursue the things of God, how we need to turn our backs, yeah, to, or fleeing here. Yeah. So the thing is that not running away from the things, but nowhere to go. It is knowing where you ought to be going and then turning your backs to these things. So that is the first thing to realize, that when you begin to see, you know, what Paul is actually saying in these verses, telling us, you know, that there is this thing, you know, whether we are pursuing God or we are pursuing the world. You can't be doing both. You know, like, you can't serve God and mammon. You know, you can't have one foot here and the other foot there. You know, that's why I say, you know, oh, what is it that you're pursuing? Make that, you know, be a very clear goal and aim. And that is, that you pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit. So it is a pursuit that should be our goal and, you know, our vision. And we know that to have that, it means turning away, yeah, from the world. And that, then you go on and go, oh, it's easy for us to say that. It is a fight of faith. Yeah. That, you think it's so natural for us to hold one, the things of God, when the things of this world is so real and present. Yeah. It is, what we've been, you know, what Paul has been saying, you know, to Timothy in these verses is that these are the things of faith to which you need to contend for. If you want them, you know, you need to fight for them. Yeah. It's just like God promising, you know, the Israelites, Canaan, yeah, while in the wilderness they don't have to fight. The moment, you know, they go and want to possess what God has for them, they have to fight for it. And it's not only when they have set their foot on that place, it will be theirs. So we know that this fight of faith is what it is. That's with heavenly things, with the things of God, we know we have to fight for it. You know, it's not going to be God has given us, we will fall on my lap. We know it doesn't happen that way. You know, with the things of God, the spiritual, because the spiritual battle is there. You know, if the spiritual battle is not there, oh, maybe you will fall on my lap. But because there is a spiritual battle, you know, where the things of faith is concerned, we know we have to fight. You have to fight for it. You have to not just want it. You're not only to think, oh, how good God has prepared this for me. You have to hunt it and fight for it. Because there is the battle. Where it talks about faith, that there is the spiritual battle. And there is this constant, you know, what it is that you want, what it is that you're pursuing. Whether it's God or the world. Just as with the Israelite, when you look at the history of their going into Canaan, yeah, they have to fight. Who is it who fights for them? They have to fight. But then you know it is God who fights for them. Same here, that we have to fight for it, but we know it's not with our strength. We know it's not with, you know, with our ability.
We have to look to God in our fighting. We have to look to God. To God, when you read on as part of this, you know, that it is God who enables. It is God who makes the way for us. And in possessing, in coming to possess what God wants for us, we have to fight our part. We have to fight our part. But our fighting part is so just small part. It our fighting part enables God to fight for us. If we don't fight, it seems that God is not able to fight for us.
Verse 12. Verse 12 says, strive earnestly, the good conflict of faith. I think some translations say good fight, but strive earnestly. That is, you need to put your effort in it, and it's like probably Paul had in mind of the at that time they have sort of this national game, and you don't go to a game like Olympics without knowing, without going along with the rules and in terms of the game, you know, what is the good fight? If you break it, then you fail. Strive earnestly. That is it is strenuous. This is the word coming from agonizing. It's like a life and death battle. And so it's a conflict of faith. We know the word faith is to believe, but then this is the noun of faith. You don't brand yourself with this shield of faith without knowing what you're believing in, yeah? What you are, you know, what are you standing upon? Your faith. It means not your belief only, but what you're believing in, yeah? So I think it later on talks about the good confession. There is, and also the Lord Jesus, the confession, good confession. So the good conflict of faith is the same as the good confession, like Jesus. Because Jesus was making a declaration of good confession, yeah, good declaration before Pilate. This good confession is the last confession, as we have said, but it is life and death. Yeah. If he would deny God, he will be free. But if he will stand on what he believes in, he will die. Yeah. And so, confess the good confession. That means Timothy has to have the same confession as Jesus. Yeah? I enjoin you before God who preserves all things in life in Christ Jesus. First of all, we know that God preserve us when we stand for Him. It's not just we escape something, but we are under the preservation, protection of God who has given us life. I think it's very meaningful to me, because often we fail to stand on what we believe in, particularly among our not believing friends or colleagues. We try to shy away. But if we can see Jesus confessing this life and death confession before Pontius Pilate, this good confession, obviously it's not the evil accusation of the priests, high priests and the scribes and Pharisees. He rather confessed what he ought to before God. Yeah. So it's before God. I enjoin thee, that is, I command you. Yeah. It's very, very important. And this man of God, as we shared last time, oh, you man of God, that is 11. This man of God is not a special person like Moses or anybody. This man of God is, you are a man of God. You are not a man of the world. You've been redeemed. You've been serving the Lord. You are representing Him. Yeah. So you have been set apart for Him. So what it means to be set apart for God is to serve Him. So we just mentioned. And going back a bit further, verse 9, but those who desire, this word, as I said last time, it has the meaning of purpose in Darby's footnote D. Yeah. What it means is that these people not only have a casual desire that is nice, you know, I desire that, but it has a purpose. They make up their mind, it's their desire, their purpose is to be rich. Yeah. That's different from sometimes we thought, well, it would be nice to be rich, but they actually determine in their lives to pursue by hook or by crook. So that is by all means. Yeah. So the result of that, they fall into temptation and a snare and thus and many other things, unwise hurtful lust, which plunge men. Now this word plunge is not like plunge, we know what it means. You plunge yourself into destruction and ruin. So this word plunge in itself is, you know, don't plunge into something dangerous. Yeah. But this word plunge means you sink like a ship. You sink into destruction and ruin. So the trap is to trap us, snare us, so that we will sink and we will not fight for the good, the faith. Yeah. And as we mentioned just now, what God has given us, His salvation is free, as it were. We don't need to do anything. Work for it. We don't need to. But then, if we are going to obtain what He has given us, God never say, that is after salvation, I mean. God never say, just wait till you come to heaven, you will get everything. No. We need to pursue, like Caleb, I don't know, I can't remember how old he was, 83, when he went to Joshua and asked for a Hebron to fight. He could still fight for it. Hebron was given him, but it was taken up by the enemy, so he had to fight to get it. Yeah. It seems to me this is keep the, as we just mentioned, cousin just asked, to keep the commandments spotless, irreproachable, and all this requires our effort. Spotless is an irreproachable. So we have to, our part is to keep it. We know what it is required of us, and before God, before the Lord comes back. Okay, I shall finish here.
Not sure how to share it. But I'll share first, and maybe I'll share my next part later, I don't know. But for this word, I think it is very precious because it talks about, it talks about fight a good fight of faith. So we already discussed this one. And then take hold of the eternal life, or lay hold of eternal life. I think the lay hold of eternal life really catch me for this time, because this term is not like normally we use, or it's not used by me. I won't say to brother and sister, lay hold to eternal life. It's like a very big word. But for me, it's very important, because he said that lay hold of eternal life. So yes, yesterday we were with James and Leo. So James not a believer, and then we said you should consider the eternity. Like you should believe in God. You should consider eternity, but not just the thing you can see, but the thing you can't see. But here it's not about consider the eternity, which we already consider, because we believe in God, we know that. But I think here it said lay hold of eternal life, because I think it's really easy for us to fall if we don't lay hold. Like Samuel, he can't quite walk yet, so he need to grab my finger, our finger, every time and walk. If he's not grabbing, then he will fall. I think the lay hold is of eternal life means that, like, we need to constantly remind ourselves what is the most important thing. Like for me, maybe, like, because I'm quite busy, so maybe after meeting, I already think of like my job, and then I should reply to a certain kind of person, I should check the email. I always, like, constantly I'm sidetracked by those things. Although they are important, they are not like the previous verse saying that we desire of money, or I love money. I don't love money, but I need money. So yeah, I always like constantly like sidetracked by those things. But it reminds me that to lay hold of eternal life. I don't know how to say it. Like, on one hand, because in my previous job, I saw a lot of celebrities. They earn like 100, maybe 100 times my money, and then yeah. So they already like complete what I want to complete in my life in maybe in just 20 years or that. So yeah, but I saw they are very lonely, and then yeah, so I know that like pursuing money is not my ultimate goal. Maybe like in my 70, I can earn some money, and then I can retire, and then yeah, have a good life kind of thing. But yeah, since I already saw them, I don't enjoy their life because they don't have pride, and then they are lonely, and they demonstrate that, even if I have that amount of money, that house, and then that, yeah, but it's not eternity. So yeah, I think on one hand, I know it, but yeah, so I shouldn't be focused on that thing. But the thing is, those things are very real, just like, he said, they're very real. Like if you don't have money, you can't live. And it's very real. But yeah, so I need to constantly like remind ourselves to lay hold, just like grab it very strongly, that the eternal life remind me. And then also, and another point is that it's not like I do a lot of, like, I spend all my time doing a lot of Christian activities. It's good because in this week I spend a lot of time with Leo and then James, and I find I'm exhausted. Yeah, they are very tired. And then when I step back, like I pray, and then I think that, like, how many times is, like, how much time is calm in God's eye? It's not like I spend a lot of time with them. It's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But I don't know how to say it. Do the time count, or do I really lay hold of God, or I just, like, using my own strength, sweating, and then, like, doing a lot of things, just want them to consider, just want James to think about it, and then say a lot of things and bring them to a lot of interesting places. But do they count? I don't know. So yeah, it's a really good reminder. And then in the following verses, I think there are a lot of words which is very big, like just now we said eternal life, spotless, and then immortal, and to him be honor and might forever. I think those things which helps me to, how to say, step back and to see, oh, this God is so great and, like, so mighty, but what am I pursuing now, or what am I focusing now? And focusing those things which really is not considered eternal, really, in God's eyes, so great. There's no difficulty for him to give me money, for him to make me healthy, or, yeah. Because you know that I constantly itchy, and then, yeah, those things around my body, and then, which really bother me. Like, I spend maybe an hour or two every day to worry about those things. You worry about how to take care of them, why they are not healing, kind of thing. Yeah, but yeah, when those add up, I think, oh, it's not good.
I think all those things are for our learning. And you asked Jason, and you said, I do this or that. Does it really count before the Lord? I think anything done sincerely for the Lord, yes, the Lord will remember. I was just looking at verses 11 and 12, where it says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And as we shared earlier on, I mean, do these things come so naturally? No, we have to fight this good fight of faith. And often I find this fighting is fighting the ego in us, our flesh, our natural instincts, which are fallen, isn't it? Anything that is not of God, we have to fight against. And we have to, it's like, our thoughts, our deeds, our words. We have to put off the old man and put on Christ, as he teaches us and guides us. And, to lay on eternal life. And last week, I just mentioned a hymn, and I won't go through the four verses, but it's from this verse, I think. It's by somebody called J.S.B. Monsell, and he lived from 1811 to 75. And the first verse, it says, fight the good fight. And then it says, with all thy might. Okay, just now we were saying, strive and, so it's fight the good fight with all thy might. But then after the second line says, Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. And then it goes on to say, like in the verse that we're reading, lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Eternally, that's right. And it's a really wonderful hymn. I don't know how many of us know this hymn. Nobody. His name is. It hasn't even got a title, but I guess it's called Fight the Good Fight, because I looked up the first line and this came up. And then it goes on to say, run the straight race with God's own grace. You know, and cast care aside, lean on thy guide. You know, it's all about trusting in God. But we have to fight as well. And then the last verse says, faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changes not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. And he said, you know, Christ is the goal, Christ is the path. Because Christ is the path and Christ is the prize. It's a wonderful hymn, but it's a long learning for us, I think, isn't it? You know, for the Lord to mold us and shape us. And we often say we have to, you know, like the branches that have to be linked to the vine in order to have life. But he has to prune us as well, isn't it? Get rid of all the stuff which is of the old man. Yeah.
I just want to say, just now when we talk about lay hold of eternal life, early on we shared how it's very much we flee. When we flee, we turn our backs to the things which are of the world so that we can pursue righteousness. And as we have shared much, the pursuing is not just very straightforward, very easy, just cruising along, but there is a fight. And here, when he talks about laying hold, you have to hold tight. Like just now Jason was saying, bang, bang, strength was used, you still have to hold him, or else he will fall. And it's very much like us, we are not strong. We need to lay hold, to really hold tight, to the Lord in this battle. Here talking about laying hold of eternal life also gives me another thought. Things that link with eternal life is things to do with God. When we talk about pursuing righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, it is all to do with God. And in this chapter we see the contrast between pursuing after God and not pursuing after God. And we also see the end result of what it is to lay hold of that which God wants us to lay hold of. And because it says, lay hold of eternal life to which you have been called. That is our calling. As the man of God, as those who are belonging to God, that's what we are to be found in and to be pursuing. Contrasting the other side. And it's very much turning our eyes, focus on that which is of him, and to really be single in wanting this and walking this way, because we know that's what has been planned for us and what we are called for.
So fleeing is you know what it is like to flee. There is to get away as quickly as possible. I suppose this is if you are your fire, your house is on fire, I hope never, it will never be. You will not try to get as many things from your house. The advice, the sound advice is to get out quickly. Don't say, I got something else. Well, I mean, I suppose you try to get out as quickly as possible. This word flee has the urgency. Run away. And then after you've gone away from that, I mean, you don't forever run away. I mean, from what it is that you should run away from. You stop and then you start to think, what am I doing? Why do I, what caused me to run away, to be in such a terrible situation. But the more positive thing is to pursue, to follow after. And this word pursue also in, we need to put our effort in, intense effort and diligence. So laying hold of eternal life. You see, often we find, we say eternal life is in the future. Actually not. Eternal life also is now. So we need to lay hold of this life we have now, the eternal life, and to know what it is to live this life, so that we will lay hold of it. Yeah, we would agree this word lay hold is like seizing it. Yeah, seizing the opportunity. But remember, our life does not, this life is not, we don't think of it as eternal life. Sometimes we think of it as for ourselves in this world. But eternal life, Paul says here, is now. Lay hold of this life, eternal life now. And so it's very much the quality of our life, the eternal life, the quality of this life now. Yeah. I think Paul also finished up in 19, verse 19, laying by for themselves a good foundation for the future, that they may lay hold of what is really life, or life indeed. So there is something we need to lay hold of, a good foundation for the future. I think the foundation again is mentioned, you know, the church, the household of God is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And so we have to have a good foundation, solid foundation, firm foundation. Yeah. For the future, well, I don't know whether it refers to eternal life in the future or now, the future in our life. So we may lay hold of what is life indeed. It doesn't mean that we to be, because Paul does say, but in God who affords us all things richly for our enjoyment. So it doesn't mean that we have to be a monk living up in the mountain in the monastery. You know, sure, there's plenty of beautiful scenery in the mountain. But we enjoy, you know. Yeah. So, I better mention something. When we took our Leo and James, we enjoy, we walk in the forest. We try to see the deers, which we didn't see any. The other walkers, they didn't see any. But we enjoy, we walk. I ended up walking 17,000 steps that day, and it didn't make me tired, but you know, the walking, the air in the forest has lots of oxygen. But I suppose we can enjoy what has given us. I mean, like in the evening, we had a meal and we enjoyed that. Yeah. Though I'm not too sure about some food. Because I get gout, so I don't eat those like beef. But we enjoy fellowship with each other. We enjoy our company. Yeah. Though James is not a believer, but as a person, he has many, like, he's very good. I'm not trying to advertise for him, Jason. He's very good in computer. He's very, very good. He's very sharp. He could see things that which I have not noticed. So, as a person, you know, you appreciate him. you know that he's not a believer.
Yeah.
But you appreciate him. And I'm sure he appreciates us, our company. Yeah, so I think it's only the trouble we created that caused us to be so wearied. By the way, itching skins, you can have a cure. Don't try to bear with it. As it were, in this life or eternity. I can talk to you about that later. So, I think it's set our mind, our spirit, our soul free. Because in this world's already a lot of trouble. And God has given us a life, eternal life. God has given us Jesus to encourage us. Yeah, lay hold of what is really life, that is this eternal life now. Yeah. Yeah. So don't live our own life. I mean, it's so often we just live our own life. But Paul is saying, lay hold of what is really life. I think in the church, particularly in the house of God, we learn to lay hold of what is really life. It doesn't mean that we practice complete like vegan. We don't eat any meat or anything. It means that we can enjoy what God has given us and have fellowship, have joy. Yeah. And not watching each other's over each other's shoulder and see what have you done wrong. Yeah. But have the freedom in the law. Enjoy the law. Enjoy the truth of it.
Just now we mentioned verse 12. Lifelong sort of learning. It kind of reminded me of the age old problem going back to the Garden of Eden. When God's saying to Adam, thou shalt not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat from the tree of life. And to me, you know, this fight, a good fight of faith, like what we shared so far, it is choosing God or not choosing God. And God make it very clear from the beginning that if we were to choose, unfortunately, but forefather chose that, then you die. And this is all kind of a matter of life and death. I mean, obviously it's not physical like we shared earlier. So it is still till this day that it is our learning, though we are saved, but like what we shared just now, the next bit of our journey that requires our choosing still. To choose God or not to choose God. I think I was only shared quite a few months ago. At the end of the day, it is that, and it really, not so much about many, many things complicating all that, but it's down to that simple matter when God tells you to do this. Do you say, yes, I do? Or I don't, isn't it? And it is as simple as that, but we know in reality it's not. Because that is the flesh in us that always wanting to stop us from choosing God. They kind of made me kind of think of linking out, I mean, we talked about verse 11 earlier, one brother I shared a few weeks ago, that this is very much like talking about pursuing righteousness, godliness, and all. It is the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? And it is, again, that we've been reminded, how can we bear fruits unless we are in the law? We are linked up with it. We are the branches. We are linked up with the vine. Then only we can produce the fruits. And I think the knowledge that we have, you know, from His Word, but it is in reality, isn't it? The everyday sort of living, moment by moment, day by day, the choosing of God. How we need to choose God. And we say it is not our strength we can do that. I mean, if by our strength we could do it, then I'm sure having done that long ago, but it shows us that how we need him to help us. And that is our learning. That is our journey, isn't it, really? That the Lord is wanting us to choose him. I mean, like I often sort of say, would it not be much easier than if we were made to rob him? But we are not. It's God wants us to love him from that free will that he's given to us. And I think kind of link back just a little bit what we shared briefly last night with kind of James and Leo. I think brothers don't mention that. That if you love someone, you want them to have the best. The Lord loves us and he wants us to have the best. And it is that knowing of that he has the best in mind for us. That, and we read on the next couple of verses that the Lord's given his life to us. And it is for a simple fact that he loves us. I think he's wanting us to do the same, that's for that. Making choices every day is to be reminded by that love that he has for us. It is not that he says to us, I've done it, then it's over to you. He's given us grace to go through each day, isn't it? And we need to be reminded it is not our strife, because our strife will only lead us to that. But the striving with his grace upon us, then it is possible to move towards this journey, isn't it? It is not that we are the first one. I mean, again, it's often be reminded we have the cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us. I'm sure it is not they are Superman as such, but it's more that the God that is real to them. I think that kind of gives us the encouragement that it is possible this journey. It's not easy. I mean, all these so-called supermen, they are failures. I'm sure they're not shy. They were not shy to tell us, you know, where they're fallen and how, you know, the Lord picked them out. And I think it's the same for us. That it's not that when we believe, then we are supermen. I'm sure we have many failures along the way. But it's him who's able to keep us.
I think, you know, I might need so a little bit, you know, at the beginning, want to say amen to a lot of the points. From the beginning of chapter 6, you know, to verse 10, it is a lot of the things that, especially from verse 3 to verse 10, it is a lot of the things that we shouldn't do, perhaps, or perhaps maybe the things that we should avoid or flee away. But it's kind of like a turning point from verse 11. It is something that we should do and we should pursue. And definitely say amen to the points that we shared just now. But for 11, verse 11, it says, I think, you know, say amen to, you know, there's something that we should actually give up and, you know, the things that we should do. And then we probably will be able to see the fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. Probably, you know, if we actually read verse 11 and 12 together, obviously, yes, it is the fruit of the Spirit that, you know, the righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. But linked up with, you know, verse 12, especially just now, Brother mentioned, take hold of, my NIV version is take hold of the eternal life. And in Darby would be lay hold of eternal life. And we talk about eternal life, I would probably associate quickly, you know, to the eternal purpose of God. And if we flee away from a lot of the things that we already mentioned just now, say amen to that. So say no to the world, say no to self, and say no to anything that which is for ourselves, the self, you know, to satisfy ourselves. And for what? It is for to, you know, to satisfy, you know, his heart and mind. And that is quite clear to me and probably in here that, you know, we flee from the world and we flee from self-seeking, to then what? And then it will be his mind and his purpose. And, so in verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. And fight the good fight. It's in present tense. Why is it in present tense? Maybe we might think about that. And we know that, you know, in English, well, my English is not that so good, but, you know, I know that when we were young, you know, we learned grammar, and then we say that, you know, for those things that often happen, always happen, and maybe every day happen, and that will be in present tense. So that means, yes, I mean, brothers and sisters, you all already mentioned, it's always, you know, we have to fight, especially just now saying that, especially for faith, it's for God, from our sinful nature, it's not come natural that, you know, we want it, we embrace it, we pursue it, but obviously, you know, now we belong to him, and that would be something that, you know, we want him, we want to choose him, but it's not easy, it's not our nature will do, and that's why, you know, I think brother and sister mentioned very clearly that, you know, we have to fight. And not only just that for us, because of our sinful nature, for us that it is difficult. For Satan, whoever wants him, whoever wants to serve him, whoever wants to make sure, you know, God's plan is going to be done, he won't give you up. In the contrary, attack you. Always, you know, find ways to attack us. Whoever really want God's way to be done or God's mind and purpose to be done. And that's why we really have to fight for it. And that's why maybe every single minute we have, if we want to choose God, we have to fight for it. And that probably will, to sum up, you know, these two verses. And when we actually talk about, the eternal to be put ourselves into the eternal purpose of God. If we really see, you know, the eternal purpose of God a bit more and more clear day by day, and then we will know that it is something that which is really a turning point to me, at least. In the past, before I actually know this, I probably would just ask God a lot of things. Oh God, you know, can you actually give me this? God, can you actually give me that? It is all self-seeking. And this is all actually asking. If now that I actually look back, I would say that, I will ask God to fit into my plan. But because, you know, in here, the pursuit is clear and more, you know, showing me that it should be the other way round. It should be I put into, how am I going to fit into the plan of God? And if it's, you know, we know, you know, the difference, and then probably the whole perspective of our life will be changed. Just, you know, tell me some of, maybe, you know, if, just now, brother and sister share, and, you know, I thought of some of the examples, you know, kind of. And if, you know, like you all now, you know, on Saturday morning, what are you going to do? If you are not actually for God, you know, if you're not trying to fit into God's plan, you can go to you know, go to somewhere that you enjoy. Enjoy, that means, you know, it's kind of like, we can actually walk around, we can actually eating, drinking, you know, doing something that, you know, we actually enjoy or like. But it's not that much anymore. You all sit there and then actually, you know, reading the Bible together. This is our Saturday morning. And I kind of, you know, sometimes, you know, people actually ask us, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe a lot of the brothers and sisters I know that, you know, actually serving there too, that, you know, Sunday morning, you know, or maybe Sunday lunch, how many times that you can be going for yam cha? None, maybe, even, you know, I can't even remember when was the last time that Sunday we can actually go for, you know, Chinese yam cha. And, you know, for, you know, when people actually serve, you know, brothers and sisters serve together, and we know that, you know, we sometimes book holiday, for example. Are we just book holiday for this, you know, for what we like? Perhaps maybe, you know, we might thinking of, oh, maybe those brothers and sisters are not around, so we are not going to book, you know, the time that at that time. And, you know, at work, you know, for example, you know, I don't know how you actually choose your job, but, you know, since that I graduated, you know, when I actually had, you know, chance to actually apply for jobs, and it is something I think, you know, some other brother and sister actually share with me, and I think I have some ideas that, you know, it is very different from the worldly people, the people of the world that actually choose job. Maybe I was just thinking of not much overtime, as near as possible, you know, to set up, you know, to save up the some traveling time, and, you know, or perhaps maybe definitely not, hopefully, working on Saturday and Sunday. Something like that. Which is, you know, the people of the world, they don't have to care. And they might not even think of, if I didn't know the plan of God, I might not choose like that as well. So how are we going to fit into his plan, rather than, you know, asking God to fit into our plan a lot of time. I think that is something that it is very different. To take hold of the eternal life, I think gradually, you know, to echoing, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, sharing just now, we more and more learn to fit into him and what he do, you know, and our everyday life patterns can be different. I mean, when we are actually, you know, with our children, for example, I still remember, you know, do you actually spend time with him or her? And, you know, not only just thinking of spending time with them, but the most important thing is how are we going to bring God to them? Well, though that, you know, you'd be faithfully doing it, it doesn't mean that, you know, they all will be, you know, following God, you know, straight away. But at least we do our part. And I think that's something that, you know, it is something that, you know, we all learn every day. And especially just now mentioned about not only just doing a lot of the religious, you know, activities, then it counts in God's eye. I really say amen. And it's a very, very good reminder. And, you know, we do the things that we thought that it is for God, but does it really remembered by him and count as something that he would be able to use it and be able to, because of we doing that, and then his work can be done. And this is a lot of the learning there. And it is a lot of the checkpoint for us, particularly. And it's a very, very good reminder that, you know, and one thing that, you know, this, especially from Christmas to now, there's something that maybe it actually related to that, which is that I'm praying for, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of the brothers and sisters might be praying for, and so how are we going to follow the Holy Spirit? And when we say that, we want it counted by God. We want what we do counted by God, and or perhaps maybe remembered by him, I would say. And whether we are actually following Holy Spirit, and I thought quite a lot, you know, this few months, and probably because of Sunday sharing, or probably because of, you know, the Bible studies, no matter what, you know, and it is something that is really, you know, caught up my heart. And I'm thinking a lot to do with, you know, I think last week, you know, we don't actually say too much of, you know, before, but last week, you know, I think Brother Nathan, share, you know, it is our life. It is, you know, how are we going to choose? And, you know, our life, whether actually, God is there. And, in our living, you know, every day, you know, apart from just now, especially, you know, when Brother mentioned about, oh, after meeting, then, you know, really naturally think about other things that which is really desperate. Yes. But if more and more we caught up by, you know, fitting into his plan and, you know, lay hold of eternal life, seeing the things that, you know, doing the things that we can't see or touch, but, you know, just, you know, doing for him. I think it is, you know, if more and more that we actually follow the Holy Spirit, and it is start not only just in the meeting, it will be just start from our everyday, you know, kind of after, you know, your work, perhaps, you know, not counting the meeting time, you know, how are we going to live at home, at work, and then, you know, if we actually live, you know, really live with God and, you know, really follow the Holy Spirit and care about, you know, how are we going to follow the Holy Spirit, and then we bring it, maybe, you know, what we actually learned, you know, from home and, you know, from the non-meeting time, then we bring it to the meeting time. Are we really learning by following the Holy Spirit? In our Bible study, in our Lord's table, in our prayer meeting, and also probably, you know, on Sunday, that, you know, brothers and sister might share. And are we really learning follow the Holy Spirit? And whether God actually has the rightful place in us? It is very important. I think from verse 13 onwards, and then we know that, you know, we will talk about Pontius Pilate and, you know, how Jesus be a witness, you know, in front of Pontius Pilate. And, you know, it is really actually tell us, you know, from 13 onwards, we can see how Jesus be our example and, you know, to fulfill, you know, what Heavenly Fathers want him to do, the purpose of him. And then, you know, how he regained his rightful place at the end. And in the church, in our life, may the Lord himself gain a rightful place in us so that his work will be able to fulfill, you know, what he really purposed.
I agree with all the sharing that we have. And I think when I read verse 11, as Uncle David said, like, you know, Paul says to Timothy that he's a man of God, not a man of the world. And it's a reminder, I guess, for me as well, you know, how I live my life every day. And we're also talking about fight the good fight, and we've been talking about the spiritual battle. And I think on Wednesday, when we've been reading the book on shepherding, actually we discussing that those who serve and be the shepherd and probably work more in church, they, you know, are kind of attacked more. And it's, you know, sometimes it's quite easy not to, you know, not to be aware. And like today, we were just listening on one of the commentaries that, you know, our life is not like living on a cruise ship. We're just enjoying life and everything. But actually, we have to be aware that we are in this spiritual fight, and we, you know, we have to be ready. And I think the other thing that's quite good, you know, and it's you know, from verse 15, we're reminded that, you know, the Lord Jesus, you know, from his witness, his, you know, blameless life, and, you know, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and, you know, he's been through everything, and, I mean, we can't rely on ourselves to go through these trials and tribulations. And, you know, when we have put in these situations, we can always rely on prayer to, you know, ask God for strength, or to help us through these situations. And, you know, thinking about, you know, living our life each day for the Lord, I still remember Auntie Fun Sesman, like, she said she went to a supermarket and she bought something, and then she realized they miscalculated, I think, the number of cabbages, and they were saying that something like 40p. And then she took the receipt, she said, oh, actually, they didn't charge me for this. She actually went back and said, oh, you undercharged me. And I think, you know, that's something that's, it's a good way that I probably would have with a check or would have bothered to queue up and, to do that. But yeah, that's a really nice example. But if I and all of this follows from, you know, the love of money, and you know, just as Jason said, you know, we probably don't love money, but we need money to live. And in verse, if I jump ahead a little bit, in verse 17, Paul says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. And we see that this richness or the world's riches is only, you know, in the current world is short term. And whereas a bit later, reading 19, you know, of laying up treasure, that's going to be, you know, everlasting and eternal. And, sorry, I lost my thought. It's reminds me, yeah, there's a verse in Proverbs, isn't it? So Proverbs 11, verse 28, where it says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but righteousness will flourish like the green leaf. And Luke and I, sometimes we talk about how the world's changing. I still remember, I think Uncle Simon, Simon Mark, was telling me, I think when he bought his first house, I think it was only £14,000 or something. 14 or 17 pounds, and it was so cheap. And like, you look at, you know, and like the things of the world at the moment, you know, things are changing so much. And I joined a meeting on Friday, the same video about it. And the topic was about AI. And the guy given topic was, he presented this presentation to our company leadership team about how to lose $1 trillion overnight. And $1 trillion overnight. And it's basically about all these companies who are losing a lot of money the last few months on technology is because of the vast increase in AI and just their level of skills. And he was given an example that he's been a programmer for many years. He had his own company. He could code in 8 languages. And that was his specialty at university. And in the past year or so, probably in previous years, even though AI was quite good, it wasn't quite good enough. So he would say, it was still much quicker for me to do it because I know it so well. And he said, just starting from like this year, it started to increase so much. And there's a one AI called Claude, which is probably not using it so much. And he's saying it's learning and the efficiency. It's now 10 times faster than anything human can do, and it may be 10 to 100 times faster. And if it has a really experienced coder, you know, I'm looking at this as I never need to code again. And this somebody spent his whole life coding. And that's just one example. And so we see, like, the world is changing, you know, so quick. And if we put our faith in, you know, even our jobs, you know, our riches, and we're saying, like, you know, look at the economy. You know, if some countries aren't happy enough, they should print more money. Or, you know, the stock market can crash. So there's a lot of things that, you know, people who, you know, put their trust in wealth may, you know, even though they are, you know, very well off, you know, they're still not happy. And we see, I think Uncle Eric gave some testimony to some of his clients. And, you know, we see that in also, you know, what we see on the news and the people in them as well. If we don't put our trust in God, then our lives are not going to be quite empty. And, yeah.
I think very quickly, when we read verse 12, it says, lay hold on eternal life. Don't be worried by as if, oh, we can lose eternal life. That once you, that if we don't lay hold of it, we can lose it. This is not talking about, this is not about, oh, you know, you can't be sure of your salvation. You know, that you have to really lay hold of it, don't let go of it, let go of it, you know, you will lose it. This is not what it's saying, that laying hold of eternal life where it says, to which you have been called, which means that for all those of us who have believed, yeah, and have eternal life, know that we have all a calling. That we are being saved, yeah, with a purpose that God has. That is the thing, you know, that label basically, don't lose knowing what that calling is. If you say you believe, I think we have the importance for our believing comes with knowing our calling, God's purpose in saving us. It's not just, you know, oh, out of pity, God saves us. That any one of us who are saved, we have a calling. We have been called, you know, with a purpose. We have been saved with a purpose. And that is, they call that, you know our calling, know our purpose to which God has for us. And then it goes on to talk about a good confession. What is this good confession? This good confession has very much to do with, you know, the calling of God. So, it is a very important verse to really think about and know, you know, that here it is not, you know, as some, I remember that says, oh, lay hold, you have to lay hold of eternal life, otherwise you may lose it. It's not that. You know, it is knowing that you have a calling in your salvation. Laying hold of that is making sure that you know what it is.
I just very quickly, I
noticed from a school, like in Hong Kong, because they come to visit us, and their working life is very hard. Not that they want necessarily the brothers or sisters want to have more money, but rather life is like that. Working hours are long. And if you have a family, if you're renting an apartment, it's not, money certainly is important. Yeah. I suppose where our priorities are, I suppose. And Paul didn't say you don't need money. Paul didn't say. But money itself is neutral, as it were. Money is not sinful. It's loving, you know, that is pursuing after it as a goal. I think in this world, if there is no other goal, no eternal hope, nothing. So people are just trying to get as much money as possible. James, he said it's worked very hard. Day job and then a night job. You know, didn't get home until midnight. I think there's such a life, you can't last for very long. But it's good that he came out of it and came to this country. I think it's always the priorities, isn't it? How do we set our priorities? And I'm very encouraged by brothers here, sister here, but in their sharing. And I know you all have potential to earn millions, but you rather choose, you know, a job which you may not earn a lot, but you pursue after the Lord. And which is wonderful. And also the word fleeing and pursuing, they are both continuous tense. That is, you keep on fleeing from things that is not of God, but you keep on pursuing. You know, it's just a stop and then that's it. I pursue now and that's it. No, keep on pursuing. Keep on running away from. That's the way we deal with it. In our life. Yeah, that's what I want to share.
Thanks. Go to those with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. Provided your words to us. And we pray that from it we can be able to have your spirit to guide us as we meditate, Lord, and be able to digest, Lord Father, what you've shown us today. Give us our hearts that are not passive, but active, Lord Father, seeking you. We just pray, Father, for that encouragement, Lord, to draw us near to you. Give us, Lord Father, that love, Lord Father, from you, Lord, as well, to live in that love, Lord, to abide in your love. Just thank you, in Jesus' name.